You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 10th of March 2025. The Australian share market rose today by 0.2%. We'll have the details with David Scutt from StoneX in a few moments. But first, Australian rental affordability pressures are at an 18-year high, and that's a record according to a new REA report, which found a median income household earning $116,000 a year and spending up to 25% of their pre-tax income on rent could afford just 36% of advertised listings on realestate.com.au, which is owned by REA. The situation was best, though, in Victoria, worst in Tassie and South Australia, where incomes are lower. For more, Raina Bosch spoke with Angus Moore, senior economist at REA Group.
REA Group Rental Affordability Index measures rental affordability right across the income distribution, so for renters of all types. And what it's showing at the moment is that at any income level, it's as hard as it's ever been to afford a rental on our data. The key reason for that, you know, perhaps somewhat simplistically, is just that rents have grown incredibly quickly in recent years. You know, even last year in 2024, we saw rents up nearly 7% across Australia, which is slower than we saw in 2023 and 2022, even though it's much faster than inflation and much faster than what we were seeing in the 2010s. And so the fact that we've seen really rapid increases in rents and, you know, while incomes have been growing, they haven't been growing anything like as quickly, means it is just very, very challenging for renters right now.
Yeah, on a state-by-state basis, New South Wales and South Australia appear to be some of the worst hit states. Can you explain this?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, New South Wales kind of always has been Australia's least affordable state for renters, you know, or nearly always. And the simple reason for that is just that Sydney is a very expensive rental market. It's far more expensive than other capital cities. And, you know, as a result, New South Wales as a whole is just a very difficult place for renters. South Australia is a bit of a newer story. It's, you know, fallen to the second least affordable state. And what's going on there is both we've seen very strong growth in rents, but also it's not as high income state as many of the other states. And so, you know, the fact that rents are now quite high there despite lower incomes makes rental affordability very low. The stat I like to roll out here is median advertised rents in Adelaide are actually now $10 a week more expensive than in Melbourne, even though Adelaide is far smaller and lower income. So it is very, very challenging for renters.
You mentioned the rental increase over recent years, which I think is, you know, no secret to anyone, but there has been a more recent slowdown. Is this something that's expected to continue over the medium term?
The good news, hopefully, for renters is that we are starting to see that pace of rent growth slow down, and rental availability has improved a little bit, at least in capital cities. So that's going to start to take some of the pressure off of rents. And, you know, we're hoping we'll start to see a bit more of a slowdown in growth in rents this year. That should start to improve affordability a little, assuming that incomes continue to grow as they have been in recent years. Though, you know, we're not going to see affordability turn around and return to the sort of levels we were seeing towards the end of the 2010s or the start of the pandemic anytime soon, just given how much more expensive rents are today than they used to be.
So what are the factors that could impact this? I mean, you mentioned wages for one. There's also rate cuts that are expected to come in later this year. I know that that's not a direct impact in terms of rents, but how might that influence it?
Yeah, we wouldn't expect to see much direct impact from rate cuts on the rental market, at least not in the short term. Where it will start to matter, and you know, the way that we're going to see improvements in rental affordability is just by having more rentals. You know, the reason we've seen such strong growth in rents is there just aren't enough rentals for the number of people that are looking to rent at the moment. And rate cuts will help a bit with that. Residential construction is one of the most interest rate sensitive parts of the economy. And so as rates come down, that will help stimulate the building sector a little bit. And that will start to bring, you know, more rental properties and indeed more properties generally into the market. But that's a slow process. You know, we're talking sort of a 4 or 5 year horizon rather than a 4 or 5 month horizon there.
So what can be done about this? Obviously, we need construction to pick up somewhat, but are there government policies that could be introduced, things to maybe entice investors, creating more rentals? What are the options?
In the short term, really the only lever that we have is ensuring that those that are most affected by rental affordability, that is lower income households, are supported. And this is where things like Commonwealth rent assistance are really important. You know, we also have some analysis in the report looking at the situation for low income renters. And to kind of put some numbers around that, for a low income renter, you know, sort of in the bottom 30% of income, effectively no rentals are affordable at the moment on that income. And so it really highlights the importance of those government supports to kind of help them stay in the rental market and stay in their rentals.
That's Angus Moore there from REA Group speaking with Raina Bosch.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.2% to 7,962. There are concerns, though, about what's being described by some economists and market watchers as a Trump session. For more on that, I spoke with David Scott.
So, David, I saw a new word in the financial media today, Trump session, right? To what extent are investors worried about a downturn in the US economy now?
Look, the word's interesting. I know that Donald Trump didn't rule out a recession in an interview earlier today. I'll say that there is concern, but it's not just for the fact that he mentioned that potentially it could be an outcome. We're seeing a lot of market movements in particular. We're seeing that cyclical equities are starting to come off the boil along with tech. We're seeing the US dollar starting to soften. And the bond market in particular, there's a lot of signals starting to go and flash warning there. A couple of curves have gone inverted, which really tells you that it's not a certainty by any stretch, but there is some ease about what's going on in the US economy right now.
So how is all of that playing through to global markets?
Look, a lot of the movements we're seeing are starting to position into more defensive parts of the market in the equity world. Long bond yields have also started to rally. You just look at some of the insights that we're seeing at the moment out of the United States. A lot of cost cutting is coming through. We know about Doge and what they're trying to go and implement there. So markets are looking at that. They're looking at some of the economic data, which has clearly started to weaken. And now you can see the markets are just ever so slightly starting to go in pricing that there's a meaningful risk that we might see at least a big deceleration, if not a recession.
What about you as an investor? These changes that we're seeing, it almost seems like there's a shift of sentiment in the markets, right? Does it concern you?
It doesn't concern me, but the one thing that is really coming through in conversations that I have and even try to keep up as an investor and a trader is particularly around the tariff policy, because I think it'd be okay if it was just known entity exactly what we're looking at here. But not only are we seeing changes on a weekly basis, we're seeing changes on an hourly basis at some times. Now, from a trader or investor perspective, that makes it very difficult. It creates a lot of volatility. But just imagine being a business owner in the United States, a householder in the United States, and having to go and make decisions about this. That is why we're seeing markets edgy at the moment. It's a broader reflection of how people see what's going on.
How do you see this all playing out in China and on its economy, especially given we saw weaker than expected inflation out of there at the weekend?
Look, China's an interesting one. And just to go and start off with, when it comes to the figures that come out on early in the year, because of the shifting timing of China new Lunar New Year, that makes sometimes the data signal can be a little bit distorted. So I'll just go and caution there. What it's doing when it comes to the trade policy and some of these geopolitical tensions right now is that it's putting the emphasis back on China to go and stimulate. So they're going to go and increase their federal budget deficit size by another full percentage point this year. They're aiming for 5% growth, and they want to encourage consumption, including trying to go and stimulate the property market again. So to me, it's trying to go and put the emphasis back on the thing that markets want to see, which is more consumer-driven growth in China.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Not much has changed since we last spoke. I still like gold. I still like Chinese equities, especially just in what we're just talking about. When it comes to the currency markets, the US dollar is starting to look a little bit interesting right now, not so because what we're talking about with recession risk, but if the US goes into a downturn, the US economy is likely to go and weigh on other major economies as well. That's an environment where typically it would go and perform all right. Also, like long bond yields, I think there's a lot of juice still in the tank there, even though we're seeing quite a bit of a rally of late.
David Scott there from StoneX. Don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating and a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and to subscribe.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.